You know, it's a job that very, very few Americans have held, 43 to be exact. There's some argument over who was the best among them, but who was the worst president? On Jimmy Kimmel Live last month, President Barack Obama read some mean tweets that were directed at him, including this one from GOP nominee Donald Trump.
President Obama will go down as perhaps the worst president in the history of the United States! Exclamation point. At real Donald Trump. Well, at real Donald Trump, at least I will go down as a president.
My guest today actually disagrees with Trump. Robert Strauss says the worst American president is actually James Buchanan. He argues that point in his new book called Worst President Ever. He joins me from Philadelphia. Hi there, Robert.
Hi, I'm here at the Cradle of Liberty.
That is right. We're also joined by Ken Davis, who writes the Don't Know Much About series. That includes the book Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. Ken joins us from New York. Welcome back.
Good morning, Celeste. Always a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to be with you as well. And we're going to see if the two of you disagree on who's the worst president, maybe mix it up a little. But let's start with, Robert, with your criteria. What were the qualities or, I guess, accomplishments you were judging to try to figure out best and worst?
Well, I guess it's sort of regular. It's what they accomplished during their terms and then what the effects were after their terms.
Okay. And so that brings us to James Buchanan. Why?
James Buchanan made every wrong decision you can possibly make. But the biggest thing, I would say, is that he started the Civil War. He was really responsible for the Civil War, the most cataclysmic event in our country's history.
Although, Ken, what about the argument that Buchanan didn't start the Civil War, that the South did?
Well, we like to say the Confederacy as opposed to the South, just to be clear.
Fair enough.
May I also just suggest briefly that we put James Brown's Living in America up for national anthem as opposed to the one we currently have. It would make baseball, football games a lot more interesting. I happen to agree with the assessment of Buchanan, although I group them together. In Don't Know Much About the American Presidents, I ranked all 43 men from A-plus down to F, with a few incompletes thrown in. And Buchanan was certainly one of the Fs, but so were his two predecessors, Fillmore and Pierce, because I agree, Buchanan had a very, very distinct role in creating the situation, the crisis that explodes into the Civil War, especially his role in the Dred Scott decision, which we've only learned about recently. But Fillmore and Pierce are equal failures, and so in a sense is Lincoln's successor, as far as I'm concerned, Andrew Johnson, the first president, of course, to be impeached.
All right, let's hear from... Okay, so there have been a number of surveys and quizzes of historians over the years trying to rank presidents. And in almost all of them, one of the presidents coming out on top, usually in the top 3 to 5, is FDR, Roosevelt. One of the most controversial decisions he made was the creation of internment camps for Japanese Americans. So here he is as he issued a declaration of war against Japan because of the attack on Pearl Harbor.
There is no blinking at the fact that our people, our territory, and our interests are in grave danger. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph. So help us God.
So, Robert, how do you weigh things like that? As somebody like FDR, whom historians say was mostly a very good president, where if you're Asian American, you may not think he was all that great.
Well, I have to give the answer that nobody's perfect. I mean, the Cubs won 100 and some games this year. That means they still lost 60, you know? What I would say
that
about...
That is a remarkable comparison.
Since I was less studying the best than the worst, and I feel you can learn something from the worst more than you can from the best in a certain way, Buchanan made wrong turns at every moment. But here's the thing. He was the most experienced man ever to run for president. He had had almost 40 years of high government experience, senator, ambassadors, secretary of state, state house representative. But he came to office not knowing how to make a decision. And that's really the difference. When you talk about these top three, Washington, Lincoln, and Roosevelt, they made decisions. Now, not everybody's going to agree with your decision. You have 320 million people in the country now. No matter what the next president makes, it's not going to be loved by everybody. Buchanan did not make decisions, and that is really what led to the Civil War. And you know, just to talk about Ken's choices, I wouldn't put Fillmore there at all. He helped get the Compromise of 1850 through, which sort of forestalled the Civil War. And look, Pierce, it just didn't happen on his watch. It may have, but it didn't. So that sort of makes him less bad than Buchanan.
All right. So, I mean, since it's still too early for historians, I think, to really include Obama in any of these lists, let's hear from him. Because you were talking about everybody not being quite perfect, that is something that President Obama echoed recently when he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live.
You know, I said when I was running in 2008, I'm not a perfect man, and I wouldn't be a perfect president, but I'd make the effort to, as best I could, be honest to the American people, to make sure that I was protective of the institutions, that there were certain norms and standards and values and customs.
So, Ken, when we're talking about not being a perfect man, or eventually, at some point at least, it will be a woman, one would hope, That's a human thing. Can we evaluate presidents based on human characteristics, human failings?
Oh, I think so, absolutely. And perhaps for most of our history, we haven't done that at all.
Right.
And we've set aside some of the worst characteristics when looking at people like Washington, Jefferson, and Madison, for instance, which I did recently in a new book called In the Shadow of Liberty. We think of Washington as one of the all-time great presidents. But in fact, he was a slaveholder, as we know. And we have to balance all of his accomplishments as revolutionary commander, as first president who understood that he was setting precedent at every step along the way, with the fact that he still went home to a plantation that was entirely dependent upon slave labor. And so history is always a balancing act, and our views change as time goes by, certainly. For most of our 200-plus years, Washington was seen as flawless. We now acknowledge those flaws.
Okay, so Robert, let's talk about some of the other, I guess, potential nominees for worst president. Let me go back to the C-SPAN survey of presidential leadership. So that includes a huge group of experts, historians, and what they call professional observers of the presidency. They ranked presidents. This was as recent as 2009. And what you find is that very few modern presidents make it to either the top or the bottom of the list. In that particular survey in 2009, as you say, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, FDR were considered the three best presidents by a very large margin. But let's talk about some of the other quote unquote worst presidents. And most of them are kind of ancient history. William Henry Harrison, Warren G. Harding, Andrew Johnson, Franklin Pierce, who've already been mentioned. There's only one modern president on their list, in addition to James Buchanan, and it's this one. Here's President George W. Bush talking about the lead-up to Iraq and the claim of weapons of mass destruction there.
I wish we'd have found weapons of mass destruction. However, that doesn't make the cause a lost cause.
Right, and something that, you know, I mean, that's something you have argued. So
I believe a free Iraq is going to be transformative in the Middle East, and it's not going to happen under our lifetime. But I think somebody's going to look back someday and say, thank goodness the United States believed in the universality of freedom and liberated 25 million people and gave the Iraqis a chance to have their own free society.
President Bush there speaking with CNN host Candy Crowley. So, Robert, why do you think this is the only modern president showing up at the bottom of that list?
Because we live in the fallacy of immediacy. We cannot get out of our current situation very much. I mean, once again, you can go back to baseball. That last game of the World Series, best game of all time. Since when? Last year? You know, we tend to live in our moment. And that's why most people think that this election is so cataclysmic when I have to admit that I think that 50 years from now, we'll be looking upon this election as just one of the regular old elections.
Really? I find that very surprising. We are speaking right now with Robert Strauss, whose new book is called Worst President Ever, and historian Ken Davis, who writes the Don't Know Much About series. But I can't let that go, Robert, because so many things about this election are precedent setting. You think this... Let me dig into what you mean by that. Do you mean we have established a new norm and 50 years from now this will seem normal? Or do you think that this election is not exceptional?
I think it's not exceptional. I think that if you look at history, which Ken and I have, and that doesn't make us better people for it. I'm not saying that. But, you probably studied history in high school, maybe even in college, and you go by this country so fast. Washington started the country. Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. Lincoln freed the slaves. It goes by so fast. You forget when you look at the 4 years of any president or 8 years among those who had two terms that lots of things happened. And I will bet you that if you have a great-grandchild 70 years from now, he comes home to his mother and says, you're not going to believe it. In 2016, a lot of the people thought the president was born in Kenya. It's such a big thing that we know now, but it will be nothing many years from now. I really think so. And you can go back and look at many other things in other elections. I'm sure Ken can tell you that.
Well, let me move on, though, and go further into this idea of worst president, because the view of the average American on who's the worst is very different from historians. Here is somebody who appears on most average citizens' list of worst presidents, but not in the bottom five for historians. This is President Richard Nixon delivering his resignation speech in 1974.
To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad.
Ken, why is the opinion of historians and the opinion of regular Americans so divergent here?
It's a great question and two quick points. First of all, Nixon, for his a singular event in presidential history of resigning, is still balanced somewhat by the extraordinary advances he achieved in foreign policy, specifically opening up China. And of course, Richard Nixon, the anti-communist, going back to his days in the 1940s and 50s, was probably the only president who could have done that successfully. So he gets extra credit for that. I moved him from F to D in my ranking of the presidents. But to George Bush particular, just very quickly, I think most presidents are viewed on two points. Above all, the handling of the economy. How did the country do? Pocketbook issues,
right,
and issues of war. How did the president respond by making the most fateful decision, which is putting American lives in harm's way? And on those two counts alone, the handling of the economy and the war in Iraq, George Bush has to be judged one of the great failures in American history, in my opinion.
Okay, I've been speaking with Robert Strauss and Ken Davis. Robert's new book is called Worst President Ever. Ken is the author of Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. Thanks so much to both of you.
Tomorrow
Thank
is another day.
Thank you so much for having us.